The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now, the US Open begins today at Oakmont Country Club in Pennsylvania. Hoping to lift the famous trophy and write their names in golf history are, among others, Shane Lowry and McIlroy. But in 1940, among the field was a golfer that just 5 years earlier had been described as the best golfer in the world, despite never having played in a tournament before. He was known as the Mysterious Montague.
Meet John Montague, Hollywood's mystery man of golf. Starting a nationwide tour at Reno, he sets out to prove the golfing legend that with a baseball bat, he outdrives leading professionals. There it goes! And it drops right up on the green. A good shot in any tournament.
So that's Mysterious Montague, John Montague. And to tell us this extraordinary story, Cameron Hill from Off the Ball. Good morning, Cameron.
Good morning, Pat.
This is extraordinary. Now tell me about his arrival on the West Coast.
So Montague, a man named John Montague, arrives in Los Angeles in 1932. This is around the time of the Great Depression. Lots of broke Americans heading west in desperate hope of making it in the pictures or the booming surrounding industry known as Hollywood. Not Montague, interestingly. He didn't seem to be quite so down on his luck. He seemed to have quite a bit of money, actually. And it really helped him sort of get himself into the correct social milieu in Hollywood. He befriends Richard Arlen, who is an early screen actor, had been a fighter pilot in World War One. He was very fond of golf, had brought Montague out to golf. And this is where he starts to create his reputation and also the myth around him. So rumors already began to circulate.
Now, he was undoubtedly a good golfer.
Yeah. He apparently shot 61-61, 61-59 in their first match together, him and Arlen, which is something like 40 under par. Rumors were starting to circulate, by the way, that Montague would go down at night to Wilshire Boulevard and hit golf balls that he never slept. So already this is starting to bed in. It's when he becomes a member at Lakeside Country Club that things really change.
Now, who were members there, to give us a sense of what that country club might be like?
Howard Hughes, for instance, the media mogul, John Weissmuller, the early portrayer of Tarzan, Oliver Hardy from Laurel and Hardy, who becomes a really good friend of Montague. He lives with him for a time, and they used to do this trick where Hardy, who was, let's say, a substantial figure, quite rotund, Montague was able to lift him up so to the extent that he looked like he was light as a feather. So they were very good friends. Lakeside was this fun zoo, as Golf Digest's Shane Ryan describes it, and that's a really interesting comparison because it was between three studio blocks and was so close to Universal that it bordered on the company zoo, where golfers could hear the lions, tigers and elephants kept on the premises for
the
jungle
company
movies.
Zoo, it just shows how Hollywood was in those days. Now, he also got to know Bing Crosby. How did that happen?
So Bing Crosby was also a member at Lakeside, the famous crooner who was a big, big golf fan. He hosted the first Crosby Clam Bake in 1937 at Rancho Santa Fe, which then moves to Pebble Beach after World War II and becomes what we now know as the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. So Crosby had more than met his match in Montague and was generally quite magnanimous when he'd lose to him. One night in particular, though, Crosby chalked it all down to bad luck, said, you just got lucky last night, had a bad lie or whatever. Monty disagreed and claimed that, oh yeah, bad luck, was it? I could beat you with, let's say, a baseball bat, a shovel and a rake as my clubs. So Crosby says, you're on. These tended to go late into the night, so maybe they were quite well lubricated, maybe they were tired, but Crosby should have smelled a rat when Montague was able to go out to his car and produce exactly that.
A rake. Baseball, a shovel and a rake.
Yeah. And so they go to the tee box. As the Smithsonian magazine describes it, he then proceeded to hit a golf ball 350 yards into a sand bat or sand trap using the baseball bat, shoveled the ball, literally dig himself out of trouble in the bunker to within 8 feet of the hole. And then he turns around, he goes on all fours and uses the rake as like a pool cue to card a three for a birdie. Bing Crosby could only manage a four, so he was par. And he said, I know where this is going. You win. So he'd proved the legend.
Now, this guy was really talented. I mean, being able to use any implement almost to hit a golf ball. I remember Eugene O'Connor, the brother of Christy Jr., hitting the ball down. It was in Tenerife, I think. I was there. And he turned the club around and hit the ball with a handle. And it went a mile, you know.
Yeah.
These guys are geniuses. Anyway, he never played in a tournament. Why not?
And he was just unwilling to live up to his or play up to his reputation. He'd only play in tournaments that were within club championships, so within the clubs themselves. He would have been perfectly fine if his stories were just confined to the madness of Lakeside and Fox Hill, where he did he broke the record twice at Fox Hill one day, carded a 64 and then a 63. But that all changed when Grant and Rice arrived at Lakeside in 1935. One of the great American sports writers. Over 100 newspapers had his column syndicated across the country, had radio shows, books, the works. He also loved golf. He played from scratch. He was a really good friend of Bobby Jones, who won golf's Grand Slam in 1930, literally founded Augusta National and helped design the course. So Rice was a pretty big fan. It was a pretty big golf fanatic. And his daughter moved out to Hollywood to become an actress. Rice would regularly visit her and became a member of Lakeside, where he first encounters Montague and then was in a sixsome with him at the Riviera Country Club, which incidentally will host the golf at the 2028 Olympics. And Rice was blown away, not just by Montague's astounding skill, but at the 18th hole, Monty needed only a par to score a 61 and break the course record. Instead, he hits the ball deep into the woods, told the caddy to pick up his ball and retired for the day. Rice said, "Why'd you do that? You would have had the record." "I don't want the notoriety," the golfer explained.
But of course, being such a good golfer, the word was bound to get out and it reached Time magazine.
They went and tried to do a piece on him. They sent a photographer to film him. They asked if they could interview him. He denied that request. In fact, he took the camera away, removed the dummy machine and destroyed it. But the reporter then had to rely on facts and rumours he'd scrounged around Lakeside. And that's where the mysterious Montague kind of nickname comes from. So they could only rely on rumours, which really helps build the myth. And actually, Rice's magazine, The American Golfer, appealed to Montague, saying that you've actually become a menace to the reputations of those whose business is golf. Please play a tournament. Why won't you? And he would not accept those invitations. A month later, in July of 1937, we found out why.
Why?
So New York State Police Inspector John Cosart saw this article and he recognized Montague, but not as John Montague. As Laverne Moore, a former minor league pitcher and great golfer, wanted for armed robbery in the Adirondack Mountains in New York State almost 7 years before. So Montague's arrested. He freely admits that he's Laverne Moore straight away, fought extradition to from California, but was eventually brought back to New York to face these charges.
How did his Hollywood friends treat him when they found out?
Backed him to the hilt. So they managed to get him high-profile lawyers like Jerry Geisler in Hollywood, who would have represented the likes of Bugsy Siegel and Marilyn Monroe, James Noonan as well in New York. So the Moore or Montague was on trial for being part of this four-man gang that robbed a Roadhouse restaurant in Speakeasy in 1930 with a take of around $700 to $800, which in today's money is nearly $13,500. Two of the gang had already been convicted and jailed. The other member was shot dead in the high-speed chase after the robbery. So he was the missing piece of all this. And the trial was, fittingly, quite a melodrama of Hollywood proportions. So the two members left in the gang who were still alive differed on whether Montague was part of the crew. One said he was, one said he wasn't. His own mother, who he hadn't seen in 7 years, came out from the woodwork and said no, he was asleep at the time of the robbery. And Montague's acquitted, generally believed that his celebrity had led him winning the trial.
Okay, so he got off, in yep. other words, but he then was free to play golf under his own name or go back to John Montague and compete in tournaments at a high level, did he?
Yeah, he keeps playing under this Montague moniker. Maybe Laverne Moore had been sullied as a name at this point. That clip we heard at the start was from a 1938 exhibition. So that's kind of what he's limited to now, because he's now 34 after the trial. He put on a good bit of weight and hadn't played golf for 2 years. So he wasn't really able to pursue the professional career he was now free to. He never turned professional, in fact. He only qualified once for the US Open in 1940 in Ohio, in fact. Shot 80 on the first day and 82 on the second, well past his prime at this stage. He misses the cut by 9 shots. And he dies of heart problems in a room at a residence motel in Studio City in California in 1972. So in relative obscurity.
Mysterious Montague. Any connection between Montague and the movie Happy Gilmore, asks one of the texters.
I'm not 100% sure. I thought of it. It's just an interesting story considering 2 years ago, Scottie Scheffler at the US Open was arrested outside the course on a routine traffic stop. So that was the most high profile brush with the law for a golfer. I said, I can do one better. Let's get Montague out here.
Very good. Cameron Hill from Off the Ball. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.